Ask John Beaton to conduct roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Chairman Rabinal?
Here.
Member Angelo?
Here.
Member Versa?
Here.
Member...
Many of you already know who I am. We've been working on watershed management plans for the South County watersheds for the last several years through stakeholder-driven community-wide processes. We work with landowners, agencies, and residents on mutually agreeable ways to enhance our local waterways. We've assisted and continue to work with Zone 11A down here on the Flood Control Channel. We work with other agencies to leverage funding for projects. We're implementing the Arroyo Grande Creek Watershed Management Plan. We're just finishing up one for Napomo, and we're beginning the process for Pismo and Edna Valley. And I'd like to just let you know that I'm available for Zone 3 if the need arises. Thank you for your time.
Good seeing you again. Okay, are there any other public comments on items that are not on the agenda? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. I'm certain that everybody has received their packets this time, and I'll look for a motion to approve the July 21 and August 25th minutes or the introduction of any corrections.
I think we're going to have to do these separately because I wasn't here on the first meeting.
Oh, okay. All right, on the July minutes, are there any additions, corrections, deletions? I have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second on approving the minutes for July 21st. Is there any public comment on this agenda item? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. August 25th, 2005, any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any comments from the public on this agenda item? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the committee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you all very much. Okay, it's that time of the year again, and it's time for a nomination and election of advisory committee chairman and vice chairman. I would like the board to know that I would be interested in retaining this position as chairperson. However, I would welcome any and all nominations. I'll open the nominations now for chairman of the Zone 3 Water Board.
Are you going to be on time?
Yeah, I'm always on time. Do I have any nominations at all?
I'll nominate Bill Rabinal.
I have
president.
A nomination.
I'll second.
I have a nomination and a second. Any other nominations from the floor? I'll entertain a motion that nominations be closed.
So
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Bill Rabinalt has been nominated chairman of the advisory committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I thank you all very much for that confidence. Now I'd like to go to the nomination and election of the vice chairman of the Zone 3 committee. I'll entertain a motion. Okay, I have a nomination for Jim Gehring.
Move to close.
I have a motion to close. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to close. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we have one nominee, Jim Gehring, for vice chair. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, Mr. Gehring.
Elected staff to negotiate the best price for the service. Staff did so, and AGP has provided the requested video service for the six-month trial period. As this trial period has ended, staff seeks your committee's direction for televising future meetings.
Good. Thanks, John, very much. Any opening comments from the board?
I have a question, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
There you go.
John, does any of this money to pay for this come from the PEG Access Fund?
I don't know.
No, this came through right out of our general operating funds. However, there is a government portion, I believe, Steve, that could be utilized for this. It just needs to be applied for. I'd ask Steve Matthews to come and give us his interpretation.
Thanks, Bill. Steve Matthews, AGP Video, and it would be just an interpretation. This is only advice. But I do believe, yes, that that your board should have some money eligibility from the one-third government access portion that the board has segregated out. It was returned to not only CSDs, but cemetery districts, any government district within the county that the funds were derived from, basically where the customer base has paid 1% into it. So I would suggest that you'd, it wouldn't be petitioned, but request, you know, some portion from, and in some cases it was quite sizable. I think like the Cayucas Cemetery District got a startup thing of like $17,000, and
wow.
I don't know that they figured out what to do with it yet.
Wow.
Steve, this would be in addition to what the cities are already receiving.
Right. This is money that goes to the county for the county franchise for all of the unincorporated territories. And like I said, it's not the way they originally made the motion, and the way I believe it stands right now is that it goes to all of it, breaks into pieces for all of the individual agencies such as yourselves that are in the unincorporated territory. So it would be a thing of getting with, I guess, Cacho right now would be your supervisor for this whole district, mm-hmm. this water district,
mm-hmm.
And asking him to take a look at how much you've got coming.
Okay. All right, good, good. Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Any other discussion?
If I may, Chairman. Thank you. I was in favor of having this trial run at least, and because I'm very much in favor of all public participation that we can get, even if it's watching TV. But in the last 6 months, as opposed to the council meeting comments that I get often from the television portion, I haven't heard one word. I have not one call, not anything. And I was wondering if the other board members might have gotten some feedback as to how effective this might be.
Mm-hmm. I haven't.
I did watch the creek flood control meeting they had downtown a couple of weeks ago on Channel 20 or Channel 25. I don't remember what it was.
Well, I have, but I'm in such a different place. I'm there all the time, you know? So I think that it's But as we get into the HCP, as we get into to more of the issues that have some substance to them, I think that it is going to be a benefit to the public. I'm in favor of certainly at a minimum going on another 6 months with this to give it a full year's try, but certainly it's at the pleasure of the board. So.
And those figures, once again, were $5,000 annually, is that correct, or?
Each meeting is, I believe, $750, right. So there's additional monies if it runs long, and for some other services there are additional charges, but
right.
$750 a meeting,
right.
Typically.
And so far we haven't gone over them. I try to get through these meetings as fast as I can.
Have a no-show set up for you also.
Right, right.
Like we had last time.
Right.
Well, if there's some public money, television money set aside for it, I don't mind supporting it, but I don't want to have to go into the budget and be bigger than $5,000 this year. And next year we're going to go some more, and because, you know, it's going to escalate regardless of what we do. So I would be a little hesitant to lock this in for long-term deals. So.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, just a couple of things. The side charges are like if I have to do audio separate. Well, there's house audio here and things. There's no additional charge. I just use the house audio. And
oh,
it's,
okay.
But I did want to bring up that we're specifically for your meetings, putting them on the web, which I'm not doing for all of the county meetings. We're throwing that in because you're so odd a jurisdiction that you cross lines all over. And I do think that the web aspect of this thing may be even more valuable than the cable TV aspect. And more that's coming to be true. Yesterday, the State Water Board meeting that was held in Sacramento with regards to Los Osos was a very hot topic.
I watched
just saying, you watched that.
Let me make it very clear.
I put it on the web. I actually worked out a deal with the Cal EPA and piped it right through slow span.
Wow.
This is more than anything is to familiarize people with slowspan.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place that you can go 24/7 if you do have an interest in this meeting. You don't have to wait for it to come around on the TV channels in each of the cities or on the county channel where we play cross-jurisdictional, like I said. But you could go to the website and take the thing down anytime you want to. You can download the whole meeting and use whatever elements of it are important to whatever individuals that you're doing business for. So it's a whole other aspect to it that I wanted to remind you was out there.
All right. Well, let me open it up to the public. Does the public have any comment on whether we should or should not? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the advisory committee. Well, I'd like to make a motion that we direct staff to pursue funding through the G portion of the PEG funds, and I guess that would be through Cacho's office. I would think that it would go through I don't know who to go to. I think the county probably the other controllers or something. And
as far as pursuing the PEG funds, I'll go ahead and take that under my responsibility.
Good. Okay, Doug. Good. All right, very good. Thank you.
Second.
I have a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any additional discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? John, that passes unanimously. How's Mr. Mellon tonight?
Good evening. Don Mellon, County Park staff. with the recreation report, we had fewer critical incidents this month and last month. Obviously, things have slowed down with summer ending, but we're going to be full for the Thanksgiving weekend, so we anticipate a pretty good crowd. We did have the one DUI with a minor accident, a bee sting with allergic reaction, and a problem with the altercation with the marina concessionaire with a visitor. The trout plants are coming with regularity between fish and games plants coming once a month, and then beginning in January, the county-paid plants will begin, and they'll be almost once a month during that period. So we'll actually have two trout plants a month from January until about the middle of May. As far as interpretive and special events, we had the Scott Tinley Adventures Triathlon on October 1st and 2nd. With 400 athletes and probably about twice as many as far as spectators. We will continue our, we've got a year-round interpretive program now that includes boat tours and nature walks. Looking in the Tribune under the Outdoor Discoveries heading, you'll see most of our interpretive events are listed in there. Staff's been concentrating right now on infrastructure repairs and removing our what we call our boneyard or our maintenance yard, a collection of debris that's been back there. We're working right now with some roll-offs and getting as much as we can out of there so we can begin to comply with some of the stormwater regulations that are upcoming. We have been approved for a Cal Boating Waterways Boating and Waterways grant that'll involve the paving of the marina parking lot. And the replacement of the launch ramp and the courtesy docks. We may see that as early as 2006, as spring in 2006. When I say infrastructure, essentially what I mean is we're trying to get on a program of replacing and repairing all of our basic items, such as campground furniture, and that would refer to picnic tables, barbecue pits. Lopez, as you know, having 450,000 visitors a year, gets hit really hard every summer, and then everybody kind of clears out. And we've had some deferred maintenance over the past 5 to 7 years that really needs to be dealt with. So it's, you know, it may not be the most interesting thing to work on, but it, if you want people to come back, you really need to address your infrastructure. Some of the upcoming events you can see are listed here, nature hikes, fishing clinics, boat tours. You don't want to miss Santa Claus on December 17th. One thing I do continue to get is requests for special events. I get a lot of requests for races, triathlons, and that kind of thing. And typically what I'll do is ask the person to come back with a proposal. And that eliminates about 50% of the requests because I never hear from them again. So if they're serious, they approach us with a proposal.
In your agenda packets. Operators report a Lopez Lake elevation of 503.15 feet, which equates to 33,483 acre-feet of storage, or 68% of lake capacity. Downstream releases are 4 million gallons per day, and we've had 1.21 inches of rainfall to date. Visibility in the terminal is 8 feet. Algae counts and odors are low. I have noticed an increase in manganese, which is typical for this time of the year when the dissolved oxygen levels in the terminal start to decrease. State water delivery has been off since November 7th, but is scheduled to come back on next Monday, November 21st. Plant production is currently 5 million gallons per day. Completes my report.
Well, that's a good report. Any questions? Pretty succinct. Thank you. We'll move on then to old business. Oh, strengthen her numbers.
Good evening, Advisory Committee members. For the record, my name is Straith Smithson, R2 with County Public Works. I'd first of all like to congratulate you, Chairman Ravenall, for your position, and also Vice Chair Guerin.
I know. It's pretty important stuff. I don't know if you knew that.
I have two items on the agenda for this evening. The first item is to report on the fourth quarter 2004-2005 budget versus actual report for fiscal year 04-05. This was originally scheduled to be presented at the September meeting, which, as you know, was rescheduled. The graph was not included in this meeting's packet, but I have extra copies in case anyone would like a copy. Is there any? Okay. starting with 04-05, for the fourth quarter. Overall, the expenditures were under budget by $326,000. Most of these savings consist of unspent capital project dollars, as well as the pigging project. These projects and the related budgeted dollars were rolled over into this current fiscal year and will be used to complete these projects. The good news is that there is a small savings, and there will be a billing credit issued to the agencies sometime next month. So going into the detail of 04-05, the first category is the capital outlay and reserves. Actual expenditures were under budget by $66,000, and again, this is due primarily to the two capital projects that were not completed last fiscal year. The unspent amount was carried over to the 04-05 budget and will be used to complete these projects. The second category for fourth quarter 04-05 is the routine operations and maintenance. There was a savings of $135,000, and these savings were pretty much within two budget categories, which were the water treatment and hydraulic expense. Non-routine operations and maintenance, again, I'm still on 04-05, there was a savings of $123,000. More than half of this was due to the pigging project, which I know I'm repeating myself, but it rolls over into this current fiscal year. The second item on my agenda is the first quarter, at this point in time, through the first quarter, yes. Non-routine operations and maintenance has a savings of $50,000, which is due to the pigging project, and again, is anticipated to be fully spent by year end. This concludes my two reports, and I'd be happy to answer questions at this time.
Good job. No, I don't have any. Anybody have any questions? See, that's what happens when you people start doing such a good job on all of this. You know, you're succinct and to the point, and it matters. So, thank you.
Scared me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good report. Okay, plant upgrade status. Carmen Electra.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you.
Glad to see you. And congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
I'm Carmen Fojo, and I'm the assistant project manager for the one project that you have that we're spending money on. So much progress has been made in this plant upgrade construction. First of all, we had approval of a full $26 million SRF loan. We got the $6 million extra funds for the total of $26 million, and we have a term of 20 years. No extensions between beyond the 20 years are allowed because it's all based on income level of the communities. As we said in the original application package. So that's something to note. Two, we awarded the construction contract to Cushman Contracting Company on September 20th. The board approved the contract, and then on October 18, they signed the contract with a budget adjustment to include the extra $6 million. As you may recall, Paul Corporation is providing a very important part of the upgrade project, and that's the filtration system. And we had to decrease the flux rate through the membranes, and we had to decrease it from 80 GFD to 55. And what the significance of that is that we have to buy more equipment, more membrane modules, and so on. And we had to negotiate with Paul Corporation. We did so successfully. We talked them down to $300,000. So with that, we will be able to buy an extra rack and many, many more membrane modules in order to go from 80 to 55 GFD. So we will get more filtration equipment for those $300,000. Then we issued the notice to proceed on October 25th, and that same week we started construction with mobilization. Cushman is presently moving and installing utility conduits and cables. It's a kind of a very boring job, but it's very needed right now. And staff, And I assure you, we dedicated ourselves, and we are dedicating ourselves to see if we can decrease the cost of this contract. We have about taken it out. I think the thing that you want to keep in mind is the first thing that may affect any of your agencies is the fact that we're going to be running at half capacity at 3 MGD. Because we have to take out one basin out of two out in order to do some work. And that's going to happen between November 28 and February 28. And there will be several shutdowns of up to 48 hours, but we will notice you a couple of weeks in advance. And aside from that, I think everything's going pretty well.
Well,
that's my report.
It should be with you with the helm there. Let me ask you a question, though.
Okay.
You say that because of going from 80 to 55, we're now going to, in fact, need the more membranes. We knew that. That had been discussed at prior meetings. And when you say that we were able to get them down in price, is that only down in price one time? Because those membranes need to be replaced. So now, in the future, instead of just replacing one membrane, we're going to be replacing how many?
We will be replacing more like, I think the total number of modules is about 278 instead of 200, something like that. We're buying more.
So as we go into the future, then are we getting a reduced price on all future membranes too, or just this one?
We are getting the contract price for the module, but you have to realize, Bill, those modules will be working less because there will be more of them. So maybe we won't have to replace them so often.
And maybe. That's what I would hope too. What is the projection now for replacement? Is it
I think it's 7 to 10 years, something like
that.
Yes.
I didn't think it was that long. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other questions for Carmen?
What's your completion date, projected completion date?
I was going to tell you that. It's 18 months. And I think we're on target. And I think we probably will meet it, barring any unusual events.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Jim?
Carmen, what's the outlook on getting the other train back in service? We're going to have it back in service in the early spring, are we?
Oh, yes. March 1, we'll have it back in service. So we're putting in a bypass, for the DAF. We have to, connect to one of the basins, and then we're putting a drain through one of the basins. So that's why we have to run at half capacity. Okay?
Any other questions? Yes?
Yes.
Carmen, refresh my memory on the interest rate we're going to pay on this money. Did it all stay at the same rate, or?
It's going to be 2.3, I believe, 2.3%.
And that includes the $6 million extra also?
Yes.
Dave, any questions?
On the interruption of water supply, will that affect the state water?
No. Well, we're running now without state water because we're banking the state water, because then we're going to use the state water more. You know, we have this thing going where, you know, sometimes we don't use the state water too much so that we can use it more later in the year. So I believe that that's what's happening right now.
Water goes, the only time it would be affected if is when we might be doing something to the pipeline that's out there, but and that might occur when there's some changes to the Clearwater Reservoir. There's talk about some piping and such in there, and there is a state water. But generally, no, it shouldn't affect the state water deliveries.
No, it shouldn't affect it.
Yeah. Well, isn't the Clearwater Reservoir fly path with state water?
I think there is also a pipeline that goes to that in case we elected to run it into that reservoir and then out from there, and there's been some discussion on that as well.
Yeah, Pismo Beach, we elect to pump 98% of our groundwater every year. We feel that it's important to set those records and have them in place. Carmen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Good report.
Thanks.
Bill, yes. I'm sorry.
I have one question, and you can answer. During these shutdowns from the end of November to the end of December, will flows be reduced or completely halted in terms of these sources?
Well, I don't think they'll be. There will at no time be. Services halted.
It'll be reduced flow.
Be reduced flow, right.
It's just reduced flow. I think that only in a 3-month period will be running at reduced flow.
Right.
Historically, that's one of the shares light, energy, and physical, and they turn to the pump line.
Right, exactly. Okay, good. Thank you, Carmen. Mark.
Right, I'm still getting along.
Well, we'll always get along. We'll always get along.
So much for the concise part.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm Mark Hutchinson with the Department of Public Works, environmental manager, and we're going to get switched over to the laptop here and do a brief presentation as soon as we can get this going. Whoops. Okay. The item we're talking about right now is a component of the Habitat Conservation Plan, and specifically what we're doing in the interim between now and when we have the HCP finally adopted. It was indicated to me by some of my management that there was something floating around out there among the committee called the Hutchinson Plan.
Yes, I've heard of it.
And that it might be advisable to come to the committee and talk about what that is exactly. Yeah. And in fact,
your biggest advocate, right?
This presentation used to have a different title, but because of the cameras, we had to change it back to what we have right now. Interim downstream release schedule. Now, technically, we're on an interim right now, but this would be a revised interim. And what it consists of, four key parts. We would revise the reservoir release rates. We would conduct additional flow impact monitoring.
And implement our own plan before we get adoption of the entire HCP, right?
Right. What we're essentially talking about is answering the question of, is there a way to better manage the reservoir in the interim period between now and at some point in the future when the HCP is approved, and along with it a different release schedule, combined with various HCP mitigation measures.
And the reason that's important to us is that we are now releasing 4 million gallons a day out of Lake Lopez in order to meet mandates from NOAA. Is it NOAA themselves that we've got these mandates from? Or?
Well, essentially what we have is in conversations with National Marine Fisheries Service, the branch of NOAA, and the California Department of Fish and Game, and others, we are releasing 4 million gallons a day. I'm using the cubic feet per second, approximately 6 cubic feet per second, to ensure that we do not negatively impact steelhead, that is, that we don't take steelhead, kill, harm, endanger any fish with our reservoir operations.
And one of the reasons that that's a tremendous problem for us is that even during our rainiest day, our rainiest weather, we still are required to release this 4 million gallons a day.
That's part of our agreement is right. to maintain that steady release, which, as we'll see in this presentation, is increased in the summer months because of some agricultural requirements. So the question comes up after we studied the HCP, which contains a lot of biological and in flow information, it appeared that there might be an opportunity to vary our release, avoid take of steelhead, and perhaps save a certain amount of water, which we'll talk about as we get into this. So what we're talking about now is putting together this interim plan so that we can comply with the Endangered Species Act in the interim and at the same time perhaps provide additional water supplies or rather better meet our current requirements for municipal water supplies and agricultural releases.
And one of the reasons that's so important is the taking that you were talking about without a certified, if that's the right word, habitat conservation plan, which is what HCP stands for. We are not protected should an accidental take occur, and that's, we could be held liable for that in a monetary sense.
At a minimum, yes.
At a minimum. I mean, the vice chair always goes to prison. But
I think that's part of the requirement, yes.
Jimmy ran for the long
We do need a name to put out there, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I think the public, I hope, gets it now. If not, you can call me.
So revised reservoir release rates, and this is a very brief summary of what we're doing, but they are based on the quote-unquote no-impact calculations that were done with the HCP. We still would meet our summer agricultural releases, so there would be no concern from the farmers downstream that they would have well problems. As part of our plan, we would be looking at reducing those release rates when and if the reservoir fell below 20,000 acre feet. That number, by the way, is the equivalent of 2 years of municipal and downstream releases above minimum pool. If I've got that right.
At the optimum time for the creek recharge, or are we just going to blow it out to take care of the fish that have the right-of-way and then let everybody else starve when the water's gone?
I actually have an initial picture of what that system would look like, the low reservoir response plan. So I think we'll get into that. But the short answer at the moment is we would be doing some notifications and push the issue up through your committee and to the Board of Supervisors with advice from the Technical Advisory Committee on that. The idea is that questions like that would be answered in advance of the situation. So we would develop the low reservoir release plan over the next couple of months, hopefully.
Because several years ago we were right at that low figure.
Right.
And that was before we had any of this mandatory release.
And the intent of coming up with the plan at 20,000 acre feet is so we have that on the books and we know exactly what our response is going to be and how we're going to respond. So we're not trying to develop it as the reservoir falls down to 20,000 acre feet. We need to give ourselves time to make all those kinds of considerations. And our intent is that the TAC would be involved heavily in the details of that. And I'll show you it's kind of an outline of how that works.
Thank you.
The other thing I have to point out is the numbers we're going to look at. These are averages that were developed over time. The HCP did a lot of study and modeling and whatnot. And we'll see that the monitoring component of this is designed or intended to address the situation where, you know, average is only in certain years, and other years we're above and other we're below, and there are critical issues that have to be addressed if we're below. But so I put that in right up, all rates averaged over time. So this is a summary table. Lopez Dam reservoir release rates. And if I can get the buttons correctly, this one up here is what we're currently doing. So our reservoir storage above 30,000 acre feet, 4552, that's last year's numbers. That's 6 cubic feet per second, except for the months of July and August when we were about 7.7, which is approximately 5 million gallons a day. So that's acre feet. And again, as you notice, we're at, you know, 6 cubic feet per second, 4 million gallons a day, 12 months out of the year, no variables except adding some for the farmers. And we have no current plan for what to do if we go below 25,000. These numbers, by the way, match what's in the HCP. That's why we're talking above and below 30,000 acre feet. In the HCP, if we go to the bottom, and this is a real extreme simplification of what goes on there, but the HCP proposes for a preferred project, a preferred alternative, that when we have above 30,000 acre feet in storage, these are measured at different times of the year, and I'm leaving that out, but we would be releasing about 4,841 acre feet a year. Now, of course, your first question is, if we're doing this now, why do we want to go higher? Well, the point is that below 30,000 acre feet, we would drop all the way down to 2,172, and that's why we need the take permit, because there would definitely be take at that point. The ACP also sets a 30,000 acre foot level, but by adopting some of those different numbers in the HCP, that is the reduced rates during certain times of the year, we get down to numbers that look like 3798. Now, again, these are estimates because we're not able to estimate at this point what kind of water we could save in the winter months. So these are talking about in the late fall and late winter, reducing flows from the lake when steelhead typically wouldn't be moving up and down the stream. That potentially we could save. The difference here, by the way, the number is about 546 acre feet a year, give or take. Again, in a wet winter where we have high flows and we have our monitoring locations in place, so where we're having good flows out across the beach, there could be additional savings. On the other side of the coin, if we have a series of dry years, then reducing the release at the dam below 6 CFS in the 4 months that are identified in the HCP as possible may not be that possible. But we think, looking at the numbers in the HCP, that over time we're looking at an average savings between the current release and the interim of about 546, I think is the number, acre feet a year. Down here, low reservoir response plan, that's the thing we were talking about, and I'll show you what that looks like. So the release component, reduced release component basically looks like this. I think Jim has seen the spreadsheet where the 546 comes from. I used him as my facts checking engineer, make sure the numbers were right. So the vice chairman also has that role.
Oh, yeah.
So flow impact monitoring. Again, you know, we're dealing with a lot of variables in the creek, and it's clear that we don't have enough flow monitoring going on in the stream. We believe that we need more stream gauges in critical locations to be able to do this right, save water, and at the same time not kill fish. So that looks, we would, of course, be focusing on avoiding take during consecutive dry years. That's when we need the monitoring. We hope to install additional stream gauges, and we're in conversations with the HCP technical specialists to see if our ideas about where gauges should go match their ideas as well. We would hope to increase automation. I have this dream of having real-time remote data access available. That's getting fairly common in this business these days. So I'm bugging my friends in utilities to look at a little bit more modern equipment, perhaps. We would also probably be establishing some visual monitoring points where we could actually have people go out at critical times and look at the stream and compare the height to a stream gauge or whatnot. Somebody nixed my idea about webcams, but, you know, could be. And then it's also clear that there's a need to correlate flow at various points along the stream with what's happening with rainfall, both during events and during longer winters. There's a good study called a permeability study, I think, that looks at the area immediately below the dam, at least down to Biddle Park, that identifies some questions that this kind of data could help us understand how the stream reacts to rainfall, both short and long periods, and that might prove valuable as we get into the details of the HCP movement up and down the stream goes. There have been a number of studies that have looked at barriers, including the HCP. These are the ones that we're aware of at this point in time. This is the most complete list, and it's from the watershed study that Salmon Enhancement managed. I guess if there's any good thing about it, it's that the first three are generally known as, well, the first two are generally agreed to be the most significant barriers. Those two plus the third one actually are either under the control of the district or the county roads department. So we have the ability to get in there and do work on those. And in fact, we are partnering with Salmon Enhancement on a project to work on the most significant passage barrier, which is the Rio Grande Gauge. So that work's already begun, and we would hope to continue those efforts and partnerships to work our way down this list. There would probably be some prioritization changes in the lower parts as we look at those and work with the watershed folks on which one should be next in line. And that brings us to the low reservoir response plan. The focus here is to have procedures predetermined so that we all know what actions are going to happen when we get if in the remote chance we should get to 20,000 acre feet. We hope that won't happen. There's no indication that it will, but it has in the past, and it seems appropriate to be prepared so that we're not, basically going in circles trying to figure out how are we going to respond to the issue of take and at the same time meet our municipal and agricultural requirements. It seems prudent to have a plan on paper that everybody agrees to because at that point there really isn't time to do a whole lot of considering and talking about it.
What a concept that is, a plan.
A plan.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's a starting point. I don't know if you can read that type or not, but it's a simple decision tree that says April 1st, are we at 20,000 acre feet? If we're above, then we go ahead with our interim release and do what we've been doing. If we're not at 20,000 acre feet, then there's two lines. I don't know if you can see this, but, of course we would notify the agency, so it's no surprise that we have an issue and that we intend to take action. We would look to the Zone 3 agencies to be implementing whatever additional conservation measures they might have access to. We'd be looking to maximize use of other alternative sources. Again, this is a starting point for the TAC as a suggestion, a place to work from. And then seeking additional sources if we don't already have alternatives. Along the bottom line, you see this is more the political route, the decision-making group. Of course, the TAC would recommend we would start at the TAC and then very rapidly come to your committee and then through the Board of Supervisors of the Flood Control District set those releases. Again, a very formal process on this side because there's an anticipation that we would be in violation of the Endangered Species Act by adjusting the flows down. So we need to get the... at least the vice chairman of the Board of Supervisors to go to jail instead of the advisory committee. But I believe at the next couple of meetings talking about the low-level response plan. I'll let Doug speak a little bit to the time frames for getting our monitoring reports in, but I believe, Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, winter 2006, we should be up and running with this? Yes, winter 2006 we would be going. Now, again, if we have a big gusher, January, February, like we all hope for, there's opportunities to save some water. We might certainly see what we could do with it.
What's the mandated release rate?
Four million gallons a day, cubic feet a second.
So we're right at that.
Right.
Not above it.
No, we're right at it. Okay. Right at it.
But we're over what we originally had planned when
course.
And we're splitting the plates.
Of course.
Yes.
Yes. Way over.
All right. Let me take this out a couple of years. Just for the fun. If the PX project should happen to come online, we would be able to take that water and augment the downstream release to save water behind the dam, so we wouldn't. We'd be able to stretch it a little farther. Or is that anywhere in the view in the site?
Well, the concept with PXP.
Right.
Yeah, the concept would be that we would hope for a one-to-one relationship there. So whatever PXP put into the system at the base of the dam, an equal amount, we would reduce the release rate.
Right.
There's some questions about how that would affect the stream immediately at the base of the dam, so we probably have to ramp up to it to make sure we could get to the one-to-one. At the moment, the last information I have at PXP is that they're reconsidering some cost-benefit issues, so it's a little up in the air as to where that project is. But that was the concept, is that...
But
whatever
there's
they,
something out there floating around for a possibility of some water, maybe.
Maybe, yes.
Jim?
In looking at the information provided for the TAC committee last month, I did see a schedule, but I didn't see, and perhaps I just missed it, timing for an environmental determination on the various mitigation measures. Are we going to have to do environmental determinations on these various mitigation measures over and above all the other environmental work we've already done?
What I anticipate is that for any in-stream work, so where we work to enhance a passage barrier, to remove it or modify it, there would be environmental work. Of course, we would use all the data in the HCP, but we would have to produce... probably CEQA documents and some endangered species focused reports for that particular thing. When it comes to the action of varying the amounts of release of the dam or adopting one of these programs, we're following a precedent set by Monterey County in the California Appellate Court that says that this is an ongoing operation that is not subject to CEQA, which was an interesting decision, but it has stood the test of time. So when it comes to the district adopting an interim release schedule, we don't believe that's subject to CEQA determination. But the individual small projects...
Any other questions from the board? Thank you very much for that report.
Right.
Very interesting. With the board's permission, I would like to scratch item D. That would be 8D, and the reason being is that's already over with. That was scheduled for our agenda last time. Between that agenda and today's date, this has already been taken to the Board of Supervisors and is done deal. Is that okay with everybody?
It's fine.
Okay, then what I'd like to do is move on to new business, and that would be the Urban Water Management Plan endorsement. Frank?
I also have a PowerPoint.
You guys got way too much time on your hands up there.
No, boy, they got hangups.
They're laying their color. Looks like the Munchkins. You guys see the Wizard of Oz the other night?
Yeah.
It was on at night, the first time my son ever saw it.
There's actually a very good reason for that, but since that's the second slide, I'll hold it off.
Okay.
My name is Frank Honeycutt with County Public Works. I'm here to talk about the Urban Water Management Plan. Okay, the reason why we have these are actually Oompas, Oompa Loompas from Willy Wonka. We have the item we just had or scratched from the agenda was the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. We've heard a couple other management plans mentioned tonight, and it's easy to get them all confused. This one, if you look at it just right, it kind of spells out Oompa, and so that's why we have the Oompa Loompas.
Okay.
In difference to the integrated regional water, this plan is not integrated and it's not regional. It focuses just on the supply and just on a particular urban area. So that's how we got that. We have this plan. It's been mandated by the state under the Urban Water Management Plan Act, which essentially says that any entity that serves urban water to either at least 3,000 customers or 3,000 acre feet or more, which Zone 3 serves more than 3,000 acre feet, we're required to do one. Which is a little bit frustrating, as we'll see, is because most of the things that they want to see in the plan are hard for us to address with our agency. And I'll get to more of that in a second. The plan here, also by state mandate, it has to be reviewed by the public. And with this, we're also releasing to the public. It's available on the website. And we're requesting any comments that anybody would have on the plan by the 7th. We also specifically have to get this to any land use planning agencies in the area. So that would, of course, include the county. We include each of the cities. And then here we are to have a hard time seeing just what we do here. So we've included this map that really emphasizes the fact that this system consists entirely of a lake, a treatment plant, and a pipe. And we don't actually have any individual customers. We only have contractors. So we've prepared this plan just to kind of overemphasize that. Our urban allocation here is numbers that you're familiar with. If we delivered, by the way, in the past, the word seems to be, used to be all the time, entitlements. Nowadays, that word is not so PC anymore. It's more of an allocation. That's what a contract allows you. How much water you actually get depends a lot on how much it rains. So these are the allocations, the urban allocations based on the supply. One of the mandated things that are the state requires us to address is the reliability of the water system. And the goal was that there are a number of water systems throughout the state that just don't seem to think very far ahead. And so this plan requires them to look at least 20, if not 30 years out in the future, and to address a number of things, including reliability. Based on the original studies that came up with the purpose for the dam, the safe yield is set up to be about 8,730 acre feet per year. The urban use the allocation there, as we mentioned, is 45. The stream and agricultural use, which Mark just covered quite extensively, is somewhere around the neighborhood of 4,200. And then in addition to that, some years we have more in their surplus supplies, and that, of course, varies from year to year. We've had a couple of things happen, as you are all aware. When the dam went through the seismic retrofit, we had to hold the level of the lake down a little bit, so that cut into the surplus. The HCP, again, that Mark went through, is not at a point where we can include it in this plan, but this plan has to be updated every 5 years, and hopefully the next plan in 2010 will have an exhaustive description on all the benefits of the HCP and the improved reliability and improved operation of the dam. But one thing that we do know is that every year that the dam has been in operation, or the Zone 3 system, it has always delivered what it was supposed to. So compared to other systems throughout the state, this is very, very reliable. One of the part of the specifics of what's mandated by the state is that we look at what would be the single driest year. The one we have on record would have been in 1990. We're able to deliver 5,500 acre feet. If we had multiple dry years, we can look at the 88, 89, and 90 years. We still delivered greater than the allocation. So reliability, again, is very high with this system. One of the things that is required to address now, I've titled this slide conservation. The way the state writes it up in the Act is that we have to look at up to 14 different demand management measures. And conservation, while it's not specifically a Zone 3 issue, the flood control district does have a system where we've contracted with the RCDs that if there are any large irrigation users, they could be ag users or schools and parks, playgrounds, whatnot, we can come out without charging them to come out and do an audit of the system and recommend improvements. We've recently had a lot of requests for that up in the North County. It's been pretty, I guess I'm using this opportunity to put in a plug. We haven't gotten a whole lot of requests here in the South County or in the Zone 3 area, so I would encourage you all to take advantage of that. Some of the additional demand management measures, for instance, the city of Pismo and Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach all have to prepare these plans, and they've begun on them because I know that they've contacted me for questions. We also have to address retrofits. There's another one in there for specifically mentioned for washing machine rebate programs and all of that. What we have one section that's mandated on there is how we're achieving all these. We have a follow-up section that's required to address if there's anything that we're not addressing or following up or pursuing. We have to give a pretty good description as to why we're not. So one thing that I also mentioned there is the California Urban Water Conservation Council. Any of the agencies that are a member of this council can put in their regular report that are part of that, and they get to skip this section. The state, in the way it does things, is strongly encouraging that everybody sign on the MOU for this council, and they've hinted that by the time the 2010 update comes around, this is going to be it'll either be a requirement or as close to a requirement as it can get. So one of the things that's contained in this plan is that at the Zone 3 level and at the county level that we talk about what the benefits would be and what, you know, whether we should pursue this or not. There are other requirements that we have to address in the plan, and the way we address them is we say that, for instance, water recycling, we don't have the authority or the jurisdiction to get into a wastewater treatment or water recycling. Again, we don't have the jurisdiction to get into desal or water transfers, but that all of these things are being addressed in the other urban water management plans prepared by the cities. And that pretty well concludes it, unless you have any questions. I will mention once again that this plan can be viewed in detail if you go to our county website. You start from there and go to the Lopez system. And we have the current 2000 approved plan on there, and then we also have the draft of this 2005 plan.
Good job. Thank you. Any comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on. Thank you very much. Good presentation. Let's move on to committee member comments. Do I have any comments from our committee members?
I have a question.
Dave, do you have...
The Air Pollution Control District, that they would disperse that money as an air quality grant and that it would be focused on activities within the Zone 3 area. The information I have from Air Pollution Control District is that that money was awarded to the school district and assisted with the purchase of a school bus that has runs on clean diesel, I believe.
Clean diesel or natural gas?
I don't think it was natural gas. I believe it was a green diesel, but it went to school bus purchase.
Clean diesel and dirty diesel is the same thing. They just change the color.
That's okay. Green. And a much more efficient engine, I understand, is what they did.
All right. That's fine. Thank you.
Jim?
Well, since we got Doug here, I got a question for him. And you might think this should have been on the HCP item, but that was for the interim release plan.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really asking about tonight is after your April 27th meeting, with the resource agencies, a few weeks later, perhaps a month later, we got a schedule from the one of the resource agencies and projected a time frame in which we could straighten out the issues on the HCP implementation itself. You know, I'm kind of curious how we are faring with regard to that schedule.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Doug Bird, County Public Works staff. In your packet on page 8-2, this is a staff report that we provided that gives an update on how things are progressing. And if you look down toward the bottom of the page under responding to agency comments, we have a little chronology or summary of what's been happening since that meeting that you referenced on April 27th. With National Marine Fisheries Service, they requested a downstream release flow model utilizing their preferred methodology in late June of this year, and we in turn submitted that to them in early July. Then on August 2nd, we submitted a second draft of the Habitat Conservation Plan to the resource agencies, and that's National Marine Fisheries Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. On September 12th, we asked our consultant to discuss the review of the downstream release model with National Marine Fisheries, and at that time, their representative, Mr. Spina, indicated that it had been on the bottom of the pile and he was going to bring it up and give it a higher priority and go ahead and take a look at it, which he did. And then October 3rd, we were notified that he had completed his review and he requested additional detail regarding the basis of the submitted flow model. I do note on number 6 there that on November 18th was the anticipated date for submission of information requested by NIMS. I actually got an email today from the consultant with a draft response. Staff has not had a time to review it, obviously. We just got a response this afternoon. She has a draft response prepared, and it is on her supervisor's desk waiting his review, so she's expecting that that should be coming shortly. And in general, though, Mr. Gehring, in response to your question, and the overall process and the schedule that was provided by the resource agencies was cited as being an example schedule, but frankly, I'm quite pleased with the level of turnaround on this. It's been my concern that the resource agencies would throw this on the bottom shelf and we wouldn't see it surface for a couple of years. And frankly, they've been turning it around quicker than we thought. Now, obviously, NOAA Fisheries, National Marine Fisheries Service, until we get the business of the downstream release model and the methodology that's going to be acceptable to both the federal agencies and the district, we're not going to be proceeding any farther with their review of the HCP. They want to get through that particular step, and then once we get that taken care of, then they will go ahead and go into their formal complete review of the document. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, again, they submitted formal comments on the first draft, and we responded to those. And so we're now waiting, and I would hope by the end of the month that we should get their next response on the second draft of the HCP.
Well, I think that this board can take credit. You know, we finally got fed up as a board and really made some demands that move forward, and they move forward great. And Jim deserves a lot of credit on that as well for coming up, and then, of course, as well as our interim Hutchinson plan. All of that seems to work well. What I'm not interested in, and of course I can't speak for my fellow board members, though, is that I want this to be kept after. I don't want it now to fall at the bottom of somebody's pile for this 2 years. Mm-hmm. That was our concern in the beginning, and it doesn't sound like that's going to be happening. So, but we will be asking those questions.
Oh, yes. And just as I believe in the past, we provided you with a schedule that laid everything out, and at one of the technical committee meetings, it was pointed out that that schedule was somewhat confusing. It was hard to follow and determine which were the predecessors for each of the tasks, and it also it did not include implementation of the interim release program. We've since reworked that and come up with a Microsoft project document that does show all the predecessors for each of the tasks, and it does include the startup of the interim releases, which as Mark referred to as around October of 2006.
Okay.
How many years have we been working on this HCP, Doug?
Has to be eight.
I believe that I've been working on it as the project manager for approximately 8 years. Now, a number two or three or four of those preliminary years were prior to us actually getting a consultant team on board and conducting the scientific studies of the Arroyo Grande Creek Corridor. So, but it's
so we're
been there.
At least 10 years into this, and we've probably got another four or five to go.
We may.
Oh, it'll be 2000. Well, see?
We better have another vote.
Oh, yeah. I won't be seeing everyone. I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
And you.
Absolutely,
you.
And we'll be coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, and as my little boy was going to bed the other night, my wife told him this joke, and I just thought it was wonderful. If spring showers bring May flowers, what does May flowers bring? Pilgrims. Good night, everyone.